And we're live.
What's up, America? It's Brian Ozone, the Candyman himself, Chris Hummel, and this is another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. And with us tonight, we have the Motu Joe. What's up, fellas?
How's everybody doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. I'm excited. Thanks, guys. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, man.
Yeah, man. All right, Joey, let's dissect you a little bit, like I told you. So why don't you give us a little information about this Motu Joe character, you know, what you're about, what you do. Give a little background on you, if you don't mind.
Sure, sure. The shortened Motu Joe version is in the last probably 5, maybe as many as 8 years. I've just gotten really, really, really diehard into Motu. Pretty much since the Matty Classics line came out, I have been pretty much diehard He-Man, Masters of the Universe, and it was just figures, and then it just kind of went everything, merchandise, anything with that vintage stamp on it, I wanted it and I had to have. So that's the kind of short version of where it came from. But I've always loved toys all the way back from, I mean, our childhood. I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's that nostalgia, that crack that we all love, that we're chasing and we don't even realize it. And it's happening right there in front of us, you know?
Yeah, it's the drug we all have here. We all share in common, I guess. So all this stuff behind you that we see here, is this your He-Man room?
Yeah, this is the He-Man room. Sorry, that light's a little hot, make my forehead look all giant and crazy, but we've got this is the toy room. So what you see over here actually used to be all Dragon Ball Z from floor to ceiling, which is going back into the more in the depth of who and where I came from and what I loved, but this just all took over with merchandise. Back over there where we've got the vintage mint on card figures, that was all a display case that held like statues and busts, and my mask toys were all down here, and then He-Man was kind of back here, and which you can't see behind the camera, but it's been this evolution of collecting. I mean, it's been nutty. It really has been nutty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you and Chris have something in common. You guys, you know, you go to auction sites and things like that, and not auction sites, I'm sorry. I guess flea markets and estates, like Chris was saying last week, estate sales.
Yep.
So, Chris, you want to talk about that with him? I mean, because I have no experience with. I mean, I had one experience. I went to Connecticut.
Really, you've never done any garage sale-in or.
There's nothing around here in New York City, man. We don't have any of that stuff.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's got to be something. And I think the thing that I would say is it's definitely, you know, not something you generally would just happen upon. You kind of have to make it happen. There's something around you, Brian. You just got to know where to look. But
people have like garage sales and stuff, but they don't have anything good. You know, I stop, I drive by, I'll look, get out, but there's never anything like Masters. You know, so to me, it's not worth it.
Well, I was gonna say it is hit or miss, and it is a lot of time to scour the earth to try to find the stuff in the wild.
Yeah.
You know, so like for me, where Motu is my main passion, I'm always looking at other toys because for me, if I can, you know, pick something up at a good price and help another collector out, and in the same process, even put a little bit of cash in my pocket, that lets me buy something goofy. Like I bought the letter opener from Tom Ace, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, if that can help further along my collection at the same point, I don't mind picking up something up at a rummage sale. So, you know, jack of all trades, master of few when it comes to toys for me. But, you know, Joe, my question that I have to ask, just based on, on the timeline with the toys that you're working with or that you did collect, how did Dragon Ball Z fit in?
Yeah. So, yeah. that's at in college, I took a part-time summer job where I'm sorry, winter job loading trucks with the holiday rush. And I remember one morning getting up and seeing these characters flying over this Earth-like weird. I'm like, this is stupid. And this is like at 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, this is no, I don't like this. No. But then in freshman year of college, I think it was kind of making another little small resurgence. And I happened to catch a battle scene and I was like, whoa, like, oh man, these guys are, this is intense. And mind you, He-Man hasn't really happened yet. This is in like 96. So 2000X hasn't happened yet. Right. So I'm like, this is crazy. This is awesome. And then it became the way I phrased Dragon Ball Z is it's an animated soap opera for men is really what that is. They build you up. Oh, and then they leave you cliffhanger. So I started buying, I became a diehard fan. I started buying some of the toys. I wound up, this is crazy. I got so diehard into finding these toys that the progression of the dies for the toys went from Bandai Toys, then it went to AB Toys, which is a French-made company. Then eventually they wound up going to Irwin Toys. And I think from Irwin Toys, then it wound up going back to Jack's Pacific. But I wound up getting a hold of Grant Irwin, the president of Irwin Toys, and said, hey, I'm looking for this figure. I'm trying to find it. And their offices hooked me up. They went in their back. And mind you, it's still Irwin Toys. They gave me the toy from the AB packaging. I just went bonkers, man. I tried to find everything. And for a while there, it was easy to find because no one was buying it. I've got a true one-of-a-kind prototype unreleased test shot of a bust, a little resin statue that Palisades Toys was going to release. And it's awesome. I still love it. My son is into it, which is great. He loves watching Dragon Ball Z Super. He is just, he goes nuts with it. But 2000X kind of came into the fold and I had two masters, if you will. I started really loving the He-Man stuff again, and I was diehard into Dragon Ball Z, and then the Maddie Collector stuff came out, and I'm like, oh. And at that time, there wasn't much going on in the Dragon Ball world.
So you switched properties?
It was let's call it a rebuilding phase, and then this is right before the Figure Arts, is that what it's called?
Figure Arts.
This is before they were making toys or doing the Dragon Ball line that I had seen. But now it's just exploded to where I couldn't even think of trying to buy or collect that toy line because it's re-exploded and reignited to where every other toy line has something. I at least felt with this because I kind of have a OCD-ish completist side of me to where...
Oh, so do I, my friend.
If I like to do something, you know, it's light switch on or light switch off. Very rarely does it sit there in that fizzle phase, you know?
Yeah. Gotta have it all, man. That's the sickness that I have. And it's
you know. It's the wrong tagline, though. Gotta catch them all as Pokemon.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And you know what? I use the same. It's true. I gotta get them all. I gotta get it. And
yeah.
So that's kind of where that went. And I did not get rid of it. It's in. I keep getting the number mixed up. I think I wound up being 12, 28 gallon totes is what it's all stored in right now, minus one display case. I have one display case in my den where the statues are at that have the really special, like the figure from Grant Irwin, the rare pieces that you just can't find from other countries. I kept those on display, just a little sliver.
See, that's cool.
Based on the way you have your room there, Joe, I just assumed you maybe had like four different rooms. Yeah. So you can just go room to room to room, and you'll do a Dragon Ball Z podcast tomorrow, right?
Yeah. That would be amazing. Oh, my gosh. I would have so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Just break up a whole basement into little cubicles of each collection, man.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That would be amazing. And I, you know, my son is 12, my daughter's 11. You know, we have a fortunate enough to have a nice home. This room that I'm in was actually never designed to be a room. It was like this when we bought it, but really it was just kind of a wall that was built in to make a fifth bedroom. So there's no closet, there's nothing in here. So it's just a narrow room that you could put a bed in and wardrobe, and they call it a room.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I'll take that as the toy room. Our old house had a toy room. And when we bought this house, we knew we were going to have kids. We figured someday we'd expand, always have a guest room, blah, blah, blah.
But nope.
The plan was to be at the old house. I had a toy room where I got to do whatever I wanted. The basement was community. We both kind of had some say. The rest of the house was hers. I took care of the outside. Same rules kind of applied here. I got my toy room. But at this house, there was a second back garage, unattached barn type thing. I got that. I took care of the outdoors. Everything else was, you know, community hers type thing. So it worked out really well. But she really, my wife, really likes a lot of the Marvel stuff in particular. And what is that?
Oh, you see it?
Yeah.
I'm going to show it later.
Is that a He-Man Visa?
You got a He-Man Visa?
All right, now I'll tell you. I don't know where I found it. Somewhere online. And this is what it is, man. It's a He-Man Visa. They have I believe 10 different styles. I got the He-Man She-Ra one that's on the front here, like that. That's the one I got. They have Skeletor, He-Man by himself, Beastman, She-Ra by himself, Masters' Universe logo, a whole bunch of things. If you go to card.com, that's where you get it from. Card.com.
I have the credit!
I want the Masters logo. That would be wicked.
Yeah, that's it right there. That's mine.
Woo!
That's awesome.
Oh, screenshot.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, Brian, while we're having a conversation, Brian's checking his mail, John.
No. I actually got it 2 weeks ago. I meant to show it last week on the podcast, but we were so into the Mortal Kombat figures, I didn't want to interrupt. But I was just actually seeing if it would show on the camera, and I forgot that you guys can see it. The audience can't see it because I wasn't talking, though. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
yeah. We saw it. We were like, "Hey, that's a He-Man credit card."
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
White.
Yeah. So go to card.com and get yourself your own.
I'm gonna have to look into that. That sounds like a great idea. So Joe, with your you've got two younger kids yet, but you have a 5-bedroom house, my friend. You can start planning that Dragon Ball Z room. I mean, I'm an empty nester, so for me, like, we had 4 bedrooms. You know, we're in a 4-bedroom house with a huge basement and a big extra room. Man, I'm slowly but surely taking over. I've got a He-Man room. I've got my office. And that's going to get turned into more like my Star Trek and Planet of the Apes room sooner than later. So you can do some big planning. You know,
there's been talk.
Chris, did you see the new Planet of the Apes reaction figures that they made?
No, I did not.
They have, if you go to Brian Flynn's Instagram page and check out his pictures, they're there. The first wave is painted. The second wave is non-painted. They made a lot of the characters. They look awesome.
Based on the 60s releases?
Yes. The original, you know.
All right. Very cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really do like the new stuff. I think it's great, the 3 movies that they did, and the Tim Burton movie was an atrocity. But as long as it's based on the vintage, I'm in.
No, it's awesome, bro. Check it out. I'm telling you, go to Brian Flynn's Instagram page and check out his pictures. That's where they are. They are sweet. And then again, like, we know we talked about the reaction figures last week. I'll bring it up again, man. The reaction figures are great because, like I said, you can have Rocky Horror Picture. Yeah, I got the Iron Maiden Eddie figures, the He-Man, Back to the Future, the Karate Kid. You know, it goes on and on. Gremlins. It's so cool. You can set up the most craziest scene, and then again, you can put them on Star Wars stuff. So,
and I do. I'm with you. I'm with you on the reaction figs. But now, come on. How awesome would a Planet of the Apes line, similar to the Mortal Kombat that just came out.
Nice.
With that 5.5. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That would be so amazing.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be sweet. Yeah. That definitely would be sweet. And you know, if they do that, they'd have to make, at least 10 figures to start off with, because, you know, there's a lot. So
they could have, like, you know, Ninjor's arm action for, like, throwing nets and stuff, or the, you know, pass. Oh, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd be in. Yeah. I'd be in. Now, Joe, I know that you're heavy into Motu. I mean, hence the name Motu Joe.
Right.
But are there any of the other, like, did the new Funko Mortal Kombat line strike you as interesting at all? Or as cool as it is, you're not going to get it?
Very much so. I absolutely thought that was the coolest line. And I'm like, oh, I looked at them. I've had them in my hands. I've had my local shops reach out and be like, hey, you want me to get these for you? And I'm like, I just got to hold off. And it's painful, but I've resisted thus far.
If you go to Amazon, Chris, you can get the Che Sub-Zero for $10.
I have all the Chase figs now, so I'm good.
What other Chase figures are there?
There are three Chase figs. There's Sub-Zero, Scorpion, okay, and Raiden.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
Oh.
So hopefully I've got two on order. I have one in the house. So hopefully by next week or the following week's podcast, I'll be able to show all three Chase figs. So
nice. You can show it to us when you get them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
I gotta say, when Amato opened those last week and showed them off, I immediately went out. My friend Ruth went out. We ended up scoring a bunch of them for all the online friends that we have. We, you know, just hooked everybody up at cost. But darn, those are cool. I've got a full set opened. And, you know, it's funny because Amato said, he goes, smell it.
Ben Cooper.
And I'm thinking to myself, why am I smelling this? But you know what? He was 100% right. It smelled, Joe, it did. It smelled just like Ben Cooper when you would open up an old Ben Cooper costume.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's great. That is awesome.
Yeah. It was so cool.
Joe.
It's just amazing.
Let's get back to you, buddy.
No, it's all good. I want those, but I want the Thundercats. It's going to be really hard to pass up on those Thundercats.
And the problem with me is that I need open and I need mock. So for me, it's going to be doubly hard to figure it out. And if they make Chase figures, which I hope they don't.
You know they will.
I know they will, but honestly, I don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, except for Tigra. Tigra can be iridescent, you know? So, that said, I'm really, really looking forward to. I seen pictures actually online, man, and let me tell you, they look amazing. And I'm not a classic collector. I have, you know, almost a complete set, but I'm not really a classic collector. But those Thundercats, dude, I gotta have them. They just look so well done, man.
And I'm not a huge into the monster scene, but I'd want some of the monsters to create what you were talking about with, like, reaction. Now I can have what I considered my toy, which was He-Man, and this is weird, Mask, completely even smaller scale.
Mask rocks.
I love them. Yeah. You know, as I've said in some other conversations I've had, I didn't have Battle Cat. For me, He-Man rode in Stinger, which was the GTO.
Oh, yeah.
He put his feet in that, and that's what I drove around. It was mashup heaven.
Yeah.
And with these new figures that you were talking about, I'd want to have the monsters with the hatchet going after, like, a He-Man, you know, and then
But the only thing that scares me too is about the monsters is, like Joe was saying, it's they're what was the word, Chris, that he used, that they are? They're not
so Freddy Krueger looks like he's got a wizard cloak.
Right.
Jason has, like, what looks like a toga sash kind of thing. So they're putting him in a fantasy realm.
Do they have pictures of them in the back on the card of Mortal Kombat?
No, they do not.
They don't? No. Okay.
I think it's only that one picture, right?
Yeah, they were just showcased at Toy Fair.
Okay.
But I tell you, as quickly as the MK figures dropped after announcement, you know, we could literally
get
Thundercats in the next 3 months.
They'll be around before Easter. I'm pretty sure they'll be around before Easter.
Yeah. So Joe, are you going to be able to hold off, or are you going to have to dive in?
Okay, so I did do the Maddie Thundercats. So I may have to do the Thunder. I have a Thundercat collection in storage. It unfortunately only has like two vintage figures in it, but
Nice collection.
it's got all of the crappy line that no one wanted from 2000. What was it? 2000.
It
What
was
was that line?
horrible.
Yeah, that line. I've got all of that. The only thing that was really cool about those were the 12 or 16 inch figures.
Correct.
Those were pretty cool. But
Oh,
I've got,
the Mezco?
yeah, that they were sold at like FYE and stuff like that.
The
So,
Mezcos were cool.
but I've got that collection. But I also have the Matty Collector line too that came out, and I have a sweet spot for Thundercats. So I might have to do that. And if they're only $10,
It's amazing. It's a great price.
yeah, they're gonna clean up. And I
Oh,
forgot.
yeah.
I think maybe it was you, Brian. Somebody mentioned in one of the posts, and it's I wish I could remember who I could give so I give credit to it. Made a very valid point. You know, what was this? $28 if you were lucky when it was out shipped, and then eventually wound up getting like $33 shipped per figure.
Yeah, it's like $36 all in all with tax and everything.
You're talking about a $10 price point, and you can go to almost any store across the country to get it. They're gonna freaking clean up.
No,
It's gonna
Fun
be a
Funko.
landslide.
Yeah, Funko knows what they're doing with this, man. And you know, I don't know if you tuned in last week, but we talked about that, about Super 7 bringing the vintage, their new vintage line maybe to retail. And you know that there's like Toys R Us in the stores are going to put them together next to each other, the Funko lines and the Super 7 lines. And the Super 7 lines are what, 20, 20 something dollars.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the Funkos at 10. I mean, how do you justify that? I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
It's insane.
Right here. Right there. That little word right there. That's how they're going to make people think that they can pay the extra 20 some or 30 some dollar by
Yeah.
adult.
Actually, my thought process behind that, Brian,
What?
is, and I think I kind of mentioned it last week, is right now Super 7's at the $20 price point based on the quantities that they're going to make and sell. If
Okay.
they actually get into retail, those contracts are going to do two things. One, guaranteed sales in and out the door. So these stores are going to contract to order them, whether it be GameStop, FYE, Toys R Us, if they're still around. When these orders come in, that means they can up their production numbers. When they up their production numbers, then their price universally would come down on a per piece thing. So
Hopefully,
as,
yeah,
yeah,
hopefully that,
well,
yeah.
but as an example, a Toys R Us, well, let's just say GameStop. I have a hard time believing GameStop is going to bring in Super 7 at 20 and set it next to Mortal Kombat and Thundercats at 10. So in order for Super 7 to be able to get into retail, they're going to have to be more comparable with pricing. They're
Oh yeah,
just going to.
without a shadow of a doubt, they're gonna have to rethink that. And again, like Joe showed, the details of the characters. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're coming with at least minimum two weapons each. I just hope that Super 7, does the right thing. And also behind that, and you said this last week about geez, what's it called? The license. They may, Mattel may say, listen, we want a $20 price point so they can make their money off of it. They might want that extra $10 guaranteed. So, who knows, man? Who knows what's gonna happen?
No, and I don't know if has Funko come out and specifically said that the Thundercats are going to be a $10 price point?
I believe they are. I believe all the
Okay.
whole all the all of them are.
Because I wouldn't be surprised to see a $9.99 Mortal Kombat intro type concept and then see Thundercats being more just based on licensing fees.
Right. Yeah.
So we don't, we still don't know for sure where Funko is going to come at on Thundercats, but I don't care. I'd pay 20 to be honest with you.
Oh yeah,
I'll
without a
pay
doubt.
20 for the He-Man all day long. It's still better than the Classics line was, and it's gonna tug on my vintage heart. you know.
Yeah, they're really cool. I'm excited for them, and it's going to be hard to not want to splurge. And then, of course, once I pull the trigger on the Thundercats, I'll regret not buying the Mortal Kombat ones, and then I might have opened Pandora's box. So, but we'll see.
Well, that's the problem with me, the Pandora's box. I have to, like I said, once I get into something, I gotta have it all. That's why I minimize the collections that I do collect, because I got like a sickness, man. It's like I have to have it all. And I collect mint on card, and then I need one to open to play with, and you know, touch and feel and
right.
Smell that Ben Cooper action, you know.
How many times have we dropped $50 on something that absolutely depreciates in value, or we just got it because we? So my thoughts are: is with the Mortal Kombat at $50 for a complete set of five, not counting the chase.
Yeah,
it was a gamble worth taking because I'm sure I'm going to love the Thundercats, and I'm like you two guys are. I'm a completist. I'm going to want to have the Mortal Kombat.
Oh yeah,
I figured screw it. $10 a piece. How can I go wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the problem too. Now that we're adults and we have jobs, if we want it, we go and get it. We don't have to wait for Christmas, our birthday, the Easter Bunny.
Right.
That begging your parents to take you to fucking Toys R Us, you know, and then getting something once in a blue moon. That's the downfall of being an adult with a good job, man. It's you want it, go on the, you know, you can go on your phone and order it. You know, with Amazon Prime, it's in your house in 2 days. It's crazy.
It is. And it's risky, too. It can be a slippery slope. Yeah,
very, very. It's a tough horse to ride, man.
So Joe, Amato put up a post in a couple of groups today. If there's a fire in your house.
Yeah.
And you can only grab one piece.
Yeah.
What is it? You're in the room. Which piece are you taking? Legit.
All right. So I can't. This is not some BS PCO Joe's just making up some. I've legitimately thought about this. I have an exit strategy. And the exit strategy obviously is the family and kids and all that stuff is first. And they know exactly where to go, how to do it. This is the last potential exit point, right? And the strategy actually wouldn't allow for just one due to the nature of it. It would take about
seven trips.
About 10 major items in the one exiting in one fail swoop. So that's not a bullshit answer. That's legit. I thought about how to answer this.
Grab first. Out of the 10 items, what's the one you're grabbing first?
Because
everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right? So I mean, think about that. What if you end up only having time for three items? I mean, I know your plan is for 10, but it takes you longer to get the kids and the wife out. Now you only got time for one or two items.
Well, no, okay. So I will answer your question. We'll play the game. I'll answer the question to one item, but okay. I'll elaborate on my answer really quick first though. Okay.
Sure.
If I choose to come down here to save a single toy, it's basically going to be either I take the 10 because of the exit strategy plan in place or I die. There's literally.
Okay.
So the way out involves literally the 8 to 10 objects physically coming with me in the win fail swoop. So if I don't get out, I literally die and they go with me. So, but to play the game, to answer it, I would probably, oh God. Oh man.
Clock's ticking, Joe.
Yeah,
you're freaking.
You just went down with the ship, brother.
I would probably take the Titus. I would probably take the Titus. There's history behind it. It's really what kind of got.
Is it boxed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Let me see if I can. Guys, this is brand new camera for me, so I don't know how this is going to work, but I can try to. He's up there.
See, and you are right. If you can carry one Titus, you can carry the Megazord as well. You're right.
Right.
Take them both.
But it's because so brief history as to why when I a lot of us buy and flip to help do this pay for this obsession. It's not like we're independently wealthy, or I have a very good income and good living, but it's not like I'm making millions and just ridiculous. I have to work to make this happen, and it's work. So when I got into this, it was coming on to flipping and making that curve, and I hustled a lot and doing $5, $2, $3. Oh my God, I made $20 on that deal. Building up to basically it was, I got my Titus without box, for, I think it was $850 shipped from Italy. And then about a year later, about 6 months later, there's a person on Facebook or on it. I don't even remember what group, this is so long ago, posts this picture of this stuff. He's in Canada. It's a 6-hour drive for me. And in this massive picture of all this amazing He-Man, and it's hard to see.
Oh, wow.
Is a box in the back corner, and it's a freaking Titus empty box. And I'm nice. Like, oh, nice. So many of us that are in the He-Man and in the toy group know of Justice Curry. He's a big toy collector. He lives 45 minutes south of me. We did a lot of toy things together. We go on a lot of road trips together because of the proximity. We hang out a lot. So
that's cool.
We this is a crazy, crazy timing of things too. For my job, I do a little bit of entertainment stuff. So I had to host, and I say this not in a bitching way, I had to host the suite back at Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids for the Garth Brooks concert. So I've got clients coming to this, and because Garth has like 4 shows, it's 3 days in a row. So I've got the 10 p.m. show. We're planning this trip. It also happens to be Motor City Comic Con, which is like one of Michigan's biggest events. So I'm like, we're going to try to do this thing. So this guy's in Canada, over by like London, Canada or something like that. I leave here on a Friday. We drive down. I pick him up. We go across the Motor City Comic Con. We hit the Motor City Comic Con. We go across. They cross from the bridge. Justin picks up his Eternia that his dad picked up for him. We load it up. We cross the bridge. We go over to London. We get the stuff. We do this big deal. I get my Titus box. I had saved up enough to like hustling of like over $1,100 worth of crap. We jump back in. I drive all the way back, drop him off, go back to the Garth Brooks concert. So
it's crazy.
It was nuts. I wound up doing, I forgot, it was something like almost 12 hours. Not quite that. But anyway. No,
it's got to be close to that.
There's story and a history behind that, you know. So I'd say that.
All right.
That's a good answer. Can't beat that.
What about you, Chris?
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering if somebody'd make me look in the mirror on that question. you know, does it have to be Motu? Because I don't think
no. Mine's not.
Okay, it would. I mean, it's only a 3.0, but my Spider-Man number 1, 3.0, signed by Stan Lee.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice. I'd grab that.
That's nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If it was Motu, honestly, it would probably be my first piece that I bought about a year and a half ago. Well, maybe it's 2 years now. That made me get back into Motu, and it was a Mint on Card Scareglow. So I started with a Mint on Card Scareglow, and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to collect Mox now. And that's what there started. And I wasn't even going to do Loose. And then Loose was – I did. So it would probably be my Mox Scareglow just because that's it was the first piece for the collection. So
that's cool.
How would you, Brian?
I would grab my signed autograph Nirvana – picture of Kurt, Dave, and Chris. That's hanging in my living room. Yeah.
Nice.
It's certified and everything. So I have the history of it. That's before, well, my kids, my wife, and then that. My dog can fucking fry.
Wow. Okay. So, I'm a pet guy. There's no way around it. Wife, kids first, then toys if there's time. I'm with you there. Yeah. And with the kids, I meant when I said kids, I meant my pets because my kids don't live here anymore.
I have a dilemma. My He-Man room is in the basement, so if there is a fire, it's probably hard to get to. But if it was Masters of the Universe, I would probably try to grab my store displays and probably my Box Eternia and get the hell out of there.
Yeah, Box Eternia.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do. So, I mean, I have a bunch of other displays, whatever I can grab, you know, Wonder Bread, He-Man.
Yeah, and we're all with that. Yeah, yep.
And I'm going to tell you a story, man. I got my Wonder Bread He-Man for like 85 cents.
Nice.
Yeah, it was weird. It was me and my friends were on a road trip to Connecticut to visit a friend. And this was a Friday night. I actually slept. I was in the back of a pickup truck because it was a two-seater. So there was three people in the front, and me and my other friend were in slumber bags in the back of a pickup truck in the middle of November. It was freezing the whole way there. So we finally got to the guy's house. We're watching movies, playing with toys. Because what me and my friends do is we play Dungeons & Dragons, like role-playing games. But instead of using, you know, your mind, we actually act it out with figures. And we rolled the dice to, you know, just like Dungeons & Dragons, everything's with dice. You know, we have strength and all this other stuff, you know. So that's what we do. In the morning, we decided to, the guy that I was there to visit, he was like, you know, there's amazing flea markets. So we decided to hit it up, and I'm rumbling through stuff, and then I was like, whoa. I pushed everybody to the side, and it was like glowing, man. It was gleaming towards me. It was like the sun. It was crazy. I picked it up, and I went to the person, and I said, how much for this? And she said, 85 cents. And I was like, I gave her a dollar, and I said, keep the change.
So you can no longer say that it cost you 85 cents then, Brian. It cost you a dollar.
It's true, true. That's true. You got me. But that was the only actual time that I found stuff in a flea market. And you know what? I would love to go back up there with somebody because there was a lot of cool stuff. And the flea market, the one that I found He-Man, the Wonder Bread, was gigantic. It was like a huge warehouse. We hit up a couple other ones as well. You know, found some things here and there, weapons, whatnot. But, man, yeah, that's what I miss, you know, that stuff like that. I don't have things like that here.
Like it's time for another road trip.
Dude, yeah. I am down, man. I'll meet you guys anywhere, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. Even my comic shop, they'll get the box of figures. I rummage through them looking for weapons, armor, all that good stuff for my vintage figures. So, and sometimes you find the cool vintage figure, you know. The thing is, too, is you find vintage figures, but they're in bad shape. The legs are loose. They don't stand. Missing fingers. This is bent. Paint wear. It's gone. Half the head is chewed off by a cat.
So, yeah, but you know what, though? I enjoy part of the hunt, and I seem to have a cyclicality, and I don't know the rhyme or reason to it, where I go hard into buying and flipping toys, and then I pull back, and then I buy, and it's not always a correlation to the inventory, but I thought I had junkers. I had this box that I just kind of kept putting things in. It's like, it's junk.
Yeah,
well, I would go back to it when I'd get another pile of stuff. Well, I just recently got a nice load a couple few weeks ago, and I'm like, let me just take another look. I'm like, oh crap! All right, cool. Arm, Malaysia. Oh, cool. Pump, you know, bitten hand. Oh, cool. Pop, pop, peep, pop, pop. And as long as they were the same country of origin, I'm like, that's not freaking matter. You know, slap them on. You know, and it's good to go. And you can tell too, color differences and whatnot. Yeah. Hold on. I think someone is coming.
You got a visitor?
No, it's okay. No, my wife just got home. No, he's Anthony will be, Steve will bring him home. So my son's got scouts on Monday nights. So we arranged.
Nice.
So that
I'm an you know what? I'm an Eagle Scout.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
That's awesome, Brian.
Yeah, man. I was the first Eagle Scout in my troop.
Oh, it's wicked. Congrats, it is, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, my son's got a deal. It's just, now you talk about, okay, I know I try to keep it generally PC when I go do things online. So I'll do, when you're a teenager, right up until when girls really become that important, what do you think would be the coolest thing you would ever want for a 16-year-old to have outside of girls in a car?
Beer?
Yeah.
That would not have been my answer.
My son's incentive, which again, I'm not forcing it. I don't push. Just, hey, how you doing? Can I help with this, that, the other thing? Right. His incentive is if he can earn his Eagle Scout by the time he's 16. I mean, it can awesome. Be the day before he turns 17. I don't care. He's still 16. I'll play that game. Semantics. Fine. He gets a TV and a video game system of his choice in his room.
Nice. Hey, go. Man, if you need any help with your, you know, ideas for the Eagle Scout stuff, let me know. I'm more than happy to help.
I would love to. I'm always all ears. I actually, part of what I do is, so when I was in Scouts, my dad would do things, but it was kind of like he'd ask me, do you want me to go? And I kind of like to do things on my own. I was wanting to spread my wings. So I let Anthony do the same thing. I let him choose. I'm like, what do you want? Sometimes he's like, yeah, come on. Other times like, oh, I kind of want to go. I'm like, cool. Bye. So, I just lost my train of thought where I was going with that. So being involved with the Scouts, I know it's what it's meant for. I can be there. I can be involved. It's what they want, the parents there. And I totally can do that, but I try to let him be him and figure out who he is without me being there. Cause I want,
no, that's perfect.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's perfect.
So I want to still be involved with the Scouts. So I actually am the vice president of marketing and communications for the President Ford Field Service Council, okay, which is
cool.
Which represents one just over it. There's four quadrants in the state of Michigan, and it's represents roughly a third of the state of Michigan. So I help them with their marketing efforts and try to help them get the word out with different things. And really my role has been more or less getting them up to speed with current technology and marketing avenues and trying to help with that. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. Well, switching gears, Chris, you got any things you want to say before we cut this show go?
I've got nothing of substance to add at this point. I really don't. I think we covered a couple fun topics. It was great talking to Joe about his collection. And
yep. You guys want to see Dragon something cool?
Yeah, let's see it.
Yeah, I would love to see something cool. What do you got? Right.
So check this out. You've seen on I shouldn't assume, but with the live videos I've been doing lately. Being able to do some of the simulcast and the live feed going across different groups. And
well,
and,
now, hold on, let me cut you off. People yeah. know that both Chris and you are admins now on Masters of the Galaxy. And yes, you do the simultaneous video casts. So we do get them on the Galaxy page, which is great. So guys, tune into that and check them out, man. It's some cool stuff.
So what I've been mentioning in those videos is that I'm working on having better presentation, making things look better. And tonight is actually the first very rough taste of this, and that's the new camera that I'm using, which really has changed a lot. I'm getting a hot spot from up here, but I'll show you what I've been working on. And then as you can see here...
No, look at you. You got, it on wheels.
I'm mobile, right? So what I can do here is I'll take the camera off so you can see for just a second. Isn't it? Keep in mind, it's not done.
Okay.
But this, and I can look at the monitor to see what the camera is, hold on. Sorry, guys. Is a nursing workstation.
Oh, wow.
All right. And check this out. That just raised up that whole distance. And now I'm standing. And it's right here to go on the monitor. So
where'd you get the nursing station?
And check this out. I'm now standing up. And granted, it's a real hot spot. So this is eventually going to become a mobile station for me to do what we're doing now. And this actually can go up just even higher. So now I'm standing up, and I just got to adjust this a little bit. So I'll lean in just a little bit. So eventually I can even go up just a hair more. But what I can do is I have it plugged in right now. I can actually unplug it. And as long as my battery life on my laptop lasts, which it doesn't last long, I can actually go mobile. So right now you can actually get – I'll squat down below.
That's awesome.
A 360 degree.
That's amazing, man. That's a great idea, dude. It's a nice collection too.
And then let's do this, right? You guys have seen the toy room, but now I'm moving into my den, which has the Dragon Ball Z display case there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then this is I'm not set up again. This is I'm amateur houring it right now, you know.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
is the statues.
Nice.
Right. Really and then cool. You mentioned Stan Lee. Back there on the wall, again, it's kind of hard to see, right? Ooh, there. This is kind of interesting. That pencil drawing. Let me. I'll move this a little closer. It's still going to be tough to see.
It's the same cover. It's the same pencil inking as that Hulk comic next to it.
What was that? I'm sorry. I'm away from the camera. What was that?
It's the same. It's the same art as the comic next to it.
It is. So this is the reason why I have this and why it's related to He-Man and why I about crap myself is that this is an Earl Norum painting.
Earl Norum. Shit.
Did this cover for Hulk, right?
Right.
So the interesting thing is that, and I'll try to do this, get the camera over here so you can see a little bit better. This pencil drawing, which I can't take off the wall easily, sorry, is it is signed by Stan Lee. It's autographed. I know the guy who got it done, off certificate of authenticity, but the crazy thing about it is that this is like pre-Xerox, right? They didn't have like more than likely this pencil drawing was in Earl Norm's possession in order for this painting to happen. He didn't draw the pencil, but in order for that painting to happen, he had to have something, and that's the proof.
Awesome.
So I'm like, oh, I got to get this. And one of my local guys had that at his shop, or I shouldn't say at his shop, but he's got a massive collection. So
that's amazing.
That's this is my den. So this is the other little fun little pieces of art and stuff I have. And here's my, I got a whole bunch of cells that I don't actually have out anymore that I used to have out on display, but there's the Foo Fighters,
man, rock on, dude.
Yeah.
I got my tickets to see them already.
I got to see them at Wrigley Field when they played there.
Oh, nice. Dave dedicated a song to me in one of his first shows.
No, really?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Dead serious. Yeah, man. All right, boys. Well, you know what? Let's, I guess that's it for tonight, man. Thanks, Joe, for showing us your stuff, man. That was pretty cool.
Cool. Thank you guys so much. I love it. That, you know, it's always fun hanging out with on Masters of the Galaxy.
Yeah, man.
The podcasts are fun. You know, Chris, your shindigs and your auctions are pretty freaking crazy. That's pretty cool, the amount of stuff that you're able to find and pick up. So kudos to you on being able to do that. That's it's a lot of work too. I know people kind of downplay that, but that's a shitload of work. So
we put a lot of effort into it, but it's a good time. So, thank you.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for being on the show. I want to thank the listeners. I want to tell everybody, if you go to MOTGpodcast.com, you are able to listen to this and every other podcast we ever did. Thanks to Doug and PopCultureNetwork.com. I had a moment there. Check out Masters of Galaxy Facebook page, please. And until next week, we'll see you then. And rock on, man. So good night, guys.
Day-day. All right.
Thanks again, Joe. Take care.
You got it, guys.
Bye-bye.